The Alex Dono Show continues here on QAM.
Look, I just flipped the switch. I don't know nobody else.
So we go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline where Omar Kelly is actually joining us from an Uber. I hope that that the Uber driver like enjoys his end of the conversation and gives him the full 5-star rating, because I have this weird obsessive compulsive thing, Omar, where I find it very important to just as the driver wants to give me the best possible experience to get my 5 stars, I want to give the driver the best possible drive so he gives me 5 stars. So I hope I don't intrude upon that.
You probably are going to hurt my rating, but, you know, anything for you, Dono. But here's my thing. I've never understood, like, what the value in my rating. Or people aren't going to pick me up because they don't like my rating? And what's the half?
I don't know. Like, for me, I just want it for me. I remember when I first discovered I could see my own rating, you know, months, a year ago, whatever it was.
I didn't know you could see your own rating.
Yeah, you could see it. Yeah, you could see it. I was, like, baffled by the fact that I was 4.8 stars and not a perfect 5 out of 5. And so I've been working to bring that up. I think I'm at, like, a 4.9 now. So I'm making progress, Omar.
I don't think I want to see my rating, because honestly, I generally don't rate them, and I just discovered that you could tip. I honestly just discovered that.
Well, let me ask you something we were just talking about, Omar. The Andre Branch $10,000 fine, not for the hit, which was a legal block, but for quoting the Karate Kid after the hit by yelling "body bag." Now, listen, I understand the sensitivity now around the NFL with CTE and the concussion lawsuits. But am I wrong for thinking it's a little bit overboard to take $10,000 out of a guy's pocket just for yelling "body bag"?
You know, in today's NFL, if you're a defender, no matter what you do, just understand that you're subjected to fines, because this game is built and designed for the offensive players, primarily the quarterback. And it's just very sad how the game has been changed and how it's evolved to the point where now they don't really care about defenders. I mean, defender can be in the right, and generally if they're hitting the quarterback too hard, you can expect a flag and it's not a fine. And it's just very disappointing.
Is the NFL trying to subliminally tell their fans to stop enjoying the violent part of an inherently violent, because it's an inherently violent game?
I don't even think it's subliminal. I think it's overt. Mm. They don't want I was having this conversation, and I'm thinking about writing a column about it. I was having this conversation with Dave Hyde, our Sunset columnist, this week at the game, and we were arguing about the Andre Branch hit. And I'm like, it's completely legal.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, you know, it's still questionable because he hit him really hard. I'm like,
what?
Do you realize that that's the point of a defensive player? Is the goal is to hit them really hard?
Especially like in the NFL, the only way to ensure that you actually complete the block or make the tackle is to inform within the rules, hit the person as hard as possible. Otherwise, what happens if you miss the block or miss the tackle?
And here's my thing. Don't defenders who can force fumbles, don't they get paid a lot more?
Yeah.
Shouldn't your goal be to force some fumbles and force some turnovers? So I want to hit a guy really hard to make him drop the ball. But in today's NFL, that can get you a $10,000 fine. My problem with the whole fine situation is, this is an era where Ray Lewis probably couldn't play in this era.
Ooh, yeah, you might be right. Not the way he played anyway.
Exactly. And Hyde's theory is, Ray would have evolved. And you're right, Ray would have evolved. But what made Ray magnificent is that he punished people. That was what, we once valued linebackers for. Now name me a linebacker who punishes people. I don't even know if I can.
I can't. Not off the top of my head, no.
No, Luke Kuechly's the best in the game. But
yeah, he's not
game.
A punisher, yeah.
Yeah, you can't name me a linebacker who punishes people. Think about safeties. They used to focus on preventing people from, catching the ball between the hash marks with physical hits. I'm sorry for all the noise. I'm clearly in New York. And now they don't do that because that can get you a penalty.
Omar Kelly from the South Florida Sun Sentinel joins us here on WQAM. Omar announced, I think this morning, that Josh Sitton is out for the year. He's on injured reserve with the torn rotator cuff. How much could this hurt that offensive line?
It's going to hurt them because I thought he was the best run blocker on the team. However, I will say this. He is Ted Larson. He's the replacement. Ted Larson is a very quality starting offensive guard. He started 73 games in his NFL career. Last year when he started contributing in the final eight games of the season, he was very good in terms of helping that offensive line solidify. So I don't have any doubt that, you know, he's not going to be a liability. We're not talking about Dallas Thomas here, but but is he going to be Josh Sitton? No.
Jets on Sunday, Omar, 1 o'clock. How can I avoid overreacting to what the Jets did against Detroit? What should the appropriate reaction be to the way Sam Darnold played, to how good the Jets defense looked? I understand Detroit's not a very good team, but how should I feel after watching that Monday Night Football performance?
You should feel like it's going to be your typical Jets game where they're physical, they're going to want to run the ball, and you got to figure out a way to stop them. The problem that you have is that, you know, Sam Darnold is so young and so green. It benefits him right now because there isn't that much film on him and teams don't know exactly what to expect. But he also hasn't seen a lot of football. So if you throw different things at him and confuse him and keep him on his toes, you could possibly take advantage of that inexperience. Nobody's done it so far because it's only been one game, but it certainly can be possible. And I think this offense can do a number of things in terms of mixing it up and creating variety and giving him blitzes and exotic blitzes to sort of make him uncomfortable. Nobody's done it so far, but, you know, the Dolphins are a great opportunity to. But to me, that Jets game that against the Lions, that was really more so Matt Stafford was pressing. The tighter he pressed, the worse his team played, and the Jets just capitalized. But the one thing that you should take away from it is they probably have a pretty good defense.
And something that came out of that game from the Lions side of it was that apparently they hadn't changed any of Matt Stafford's hand signals from the year before, so the Jets defense knew exactly what was coming. Is that, Omar, is that worse than when the Dolphins used to use go or go-go when it was either a run or a pass? Like what level is that on?
I don't, you know what, truth is, I don't think we ever got to the bottom of go and go-go. I don't think we ever really, ever really broke it down and clarified, you know, was it helping tip off the offensive plays. But, you know, I don't know how much the hand signals contributed to it. To me, Matt Stafford looked like he was just making some bad throws, some bad decisions, pressing. Which he does. That's kind of the knock on him. He's a good quarterback, but when he presses, he presses, and he suffocates himself to death. So, to me, I think that was more of a factor so than them being able to know their hand signal.
Yeah, I haven't spoken to you since the Titans game. What was your grade for Ryan Tannehill? How did you feel he played this past Sunday?
I gave him a B. The three mistakes that he made in that game, two of them were turnovers, and then the fourth and two play. That was a pass that was a little bit late and maybe a little bit behind Kenyon Drake. But if I'm going to give you three mistakes, you know, in a game for Ryan Tannehill, if I tell you, hey, on Sunday, Ryan Tannehill is going to make just three mistakes, are you in or you out?
I'm in.
Okay. I think he's going to play a more polished game than what we've seen the past couple of years. And that will hopefully benefit the team. I wrote a column in this week's Sun Sentinel about how Alex Smith, to me, is the top shelf of what I believe he can become. And I have no problems with that. Alex Smith is the kind of quarterback, completes 65% of his passes, doesn't throw any interceptions, and it leads an efficient offense. Now, they're not a high-scoring offense, but they're an efficient offense. You put a running game with that, and you put a good defense with that, and you have a chance.
Now, how do your readers and your listeners react to that, Omar? Because I find that a lot of Dolphin fans do not want to settle for a quarterback that isn't Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers. So by you saying that his ceiling is Alex Smith, and I agree with you on that not being a bad thing, but what kind of responses do you get to a statement like that?
You know, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, fans were irate about it. Because I've always said that that is who he's going to become. They were irate. They were like, how dare you? That's an insult. We're better than that. Well, and now history has shown you, hey, Alex Smith is a Pro Bowl quarterback. His team is pretty much perennially in a playoff hunt. He's produced a couple hundred passer rating seasons. If Ryan Tannehill ever becomes that quarterback, you should be thrilled by it. And I think that fans are coming to that realization that, hey, he's not yet Alex Smith, but if he gets to Alex Smith, it'll be a good thing.
Devontae Parker back in practice this week, and we're expecting him to play on Sunday, Omar. Does he get right back into a starting spot, or how do you expect Gase to rotate Devontae?
I expect him to use him sort of – I'm sorry. I expect him to use him – thank you. I expect him to use him probably 20% of the plays. What people have to understand about Adam Gase's offense, or what he's always been trying to implement, is that he wants a package for Jakeem Grant, a package for Albert Wilson, Kenny Stills' big play package. You know, he and then there's the Devontae Parker package. There's a package for every receiver, and he just uses it based on what defenses are doing or what the personnel matchup is. And this was the passing game that he envisioned, with the exception of the fact that he doesn't have an inline tight end. Mm. So he finally has what he wants, an experienced quarterback. I'm sure he'd love to have Josh sitting on his offensive line. Now the question is, can it benefit this team? You know, they didn't have a problem scoring points, even though they were horrible in the red zone last week. But I'm curious to see if that's going to be consistent or if that was just Titans specific.
Last thing here for Omar Kelly from the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Have you made your prediction, Omar, for Dolphins Jets? Is it a win? Is it a loss? What kind of game are you expecting?
I'm expecting it to be a win. I'm until this team shows me that they can't match with teams physically. Last week I was like, oh man, I don't know about if they can handle the Titans. Titans are a very physical team, and they handled it. Now with William Hayes being possibly sidelined, he's questionable for the game, and Josh Sitton being out for the season, you know, I got to take down the physicality meter by a notch, but I think they still have the potential to be physical. And then I'm not a big Sam Darnold believer. I think he's going to be a decent quarterback, but I'm not ready to crown him like all these Jets fans up here are.
Yeah, definitely. Try and stay clear of some of those more obnoxious fans up there, Omar. And thank you so much for taking the time, man. Enjoy the game Sunday.
All right, guys. All right. Thanks, Donna.
Love that. Good stuff there from Omar.